Horn Jeremiah. We're going to cover a bunch of ground tonight. Chapter 37, I think, is the number. Do what? Yeah. Yep, I should be. Jeremiah 37. So Jeremiah 37 through about 39 is all one account here. Same thing going on. And so we're going to cover all these chapters, but really, I mean, it's not. I'm just going to tell you what's going on. But there's one principle at work in all of this, as we go through these chapters. And I don't see the glasses anywhere. There they are. Found them. Yeah. All right, let's pray. And the theme this evening is, it's a proverb. And it says that when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And so that's the theme. But let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your words. I do pray that you would help us understand what we're reading. Just get a better grasp of it. Be fed by your words. For those that are sick, we pray that you would heal up their bodies. Those that are traveling, you get them home safe. And then for Sam's knees, that you'd, get us connected with the right people to help him with all that that's going on with his legs there. And I pray you'd help us tonight. Thank you again for each soul that's here. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so Jeremiah 37, 38, 39, one consecutive account of, it's interesting, in 36 you have sort of Jeremiah's, the beginning of his ministry with Jehoiakim and King Jehoiakim. Early on, and now with Zedekiah. Zedekiah is the last king in Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon finally take over and destroy the city. And so you jump from 36 to 37, jumps to the end, really, towards the end of Jeremiah's ministry in the capital city there. And so, again, the theme is, it's a proverb. The proverb says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And so that's the thought, and that's going to be the principle that's going to be played out in these chapters. So let's see what's going on with Jeremiah, with Jerusalem, and all of this history that it's history, things that the Lord allowed and brought on to Jerusalem to chasten the people and the nation and really be a light and an example to other nations and to people. So chapter 37 begins this way. Verse 1, King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Kaniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. So he makes Zedekiah king in Jerusalem. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. So they never listened to Jeremiah. And Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal the son of Shelemiah and Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah and the priest to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray now unto the Lord our God for us. And now Jeremiah came and went out among the people, for they had not put him in prison. Then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt, and when the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. So here's the situation, and it's really, really interesting how the circumstances work here. Zedekiah the king goes to Jeremiah, who is still free to move around. Like I said, he's not in prison yet. But he sends some folks to ask Jeremiah to pray for the nation, pray for the people, and try to get an answer as to what the outcome and you know, how to affect the outcome of all of this, which is, this prayer request reminds me of, it probably reminds you of a lot of prayer requests. You know, people find themselves in a real mess, and what they want is just, you know, just save me from the mess here. And they're not interested in obeying God. They're not interested in listening to God. They just don't want to be in the mess. And so this is kind of the prayer request that is given to Jeremiah. Go, take this to the Lord and give us a good answer, things like that. And what's interesting about this whole thing is when they do this, and Jeremiah, he agrees and takes it to the Lord. He's going to pray, not going to give him the answer he wants. But when he does that, and when he's asked to pray, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, hear about Egypt moving into Jerusalem, or at least moving some troops into and around Jerusalem. And so the Babylonians move out. So what this looks like is an answer to prayer. That's what it looks like. Is it an answer to prayer? No, that's not what it is. That's not what's happening. But it appears to be that way. And so as Egypt sort of moves some forces towards Jerusalem, the Babylonians kind of take a step back and move out. And so it looks like, the Lord's answered the prayer, but the reality is he hasn't. He hasn't answered the prayer. And ultimately, you realize this. I mean, people interpret situations the way they want to interpret them. And so if they were hoping for this outcome, then that's the outcome. They think God is now on their side and he's gonna move Babylon out and stuff like that. Now, that all said, that's the situation there. Keep in mind, Zedekiah, he's a rebellious king. He's asked Jeremiah to pray for him. And so they pray, and then Egypt moves in. Babylonians start to move out. Now, that said, verse 6 says, now here's the actual answer to the prayer. And it's not that Babylon's moving out. Verse 6 says, then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say to the king of Judah, that's Zedekiah, that sent you unto me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army which has come forth to help you shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. All right, that's the answer to the prayer. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves. There you go. We all see what we want to see in the situation. Everybody sees what they want to see. But the importance of having God's perspective, you just can't minimize that. Thus saith the Lord, verse 9, deceive not yourselves, saying the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remained but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire. So the answer is actually the opposite of what you see going on. God's answer is, no, Babylon may have moved out for a little bit, but they're coming back. You haven't been rescued from anything. The judgment is still on, and the judgment is still on the nation, because you haven't changed anything that you were supposed to change. You haven't fixed anything that you were asked to fix. And so here's Jeremiah's answer. You got the, don't deceive yourselves. This doesn't look like what you think it looks like. And so with this answer, so you can just imagine. You've got the king and these powerful political people, and they're all celebrating probably the entrance of Egypt into the land and the exit of the Babylonians out of the land, at least temporarily. They think it's for good, and so they're all excited about it. And then Jeremiah just dumps a bunch of water on the whole thing and sort of extinguishes all the hope and says, look, they're all coming back. Babylon's coming back here. And even if you beat them down to just injured men, They're still coming back and they're still going to burn the city down. And so Jeremiah, with that message, you can just imagine how that message goes with all these people who are excited about Babylon leaving. So what do you think they do to Jeremiah? Well, you take the prophet and you beat him now because you don't like what he's saying. This isn't the answer we were looking for. This isn't what we were looking for, a different answer. So verse 11, and it came to pass that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. So he's going to leave Jerusalem because Jerusalem's about to be, it's going to be destroyed. So Jeremiah moves out. So he leaves, he goes probably to where he is from Anathoth, right outside of, somewhere outside of, in the country somewhere. And verse 12, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. So he leaves. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Arijah, the son of Chelmiah, the son of Hananiah. And he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, thou followest the way to the Chaldeans, like you're a spy. You're the one that told us these Chaldeans, these Babylonians are coming back. We know who you are. You're that traitor. Verse 14 then said, Jeremiah, it's false. I fall not away to the Chaldeans, but he hearkened not to him. So Arijah took Jeremiah, brought him to the princes. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. So Jeremiah, he preaches his message. Here's the answer to your prayer. Babylon is coming back and they're going to destroy the city. And after he preaches that, Jeremiah leaves. He gets out of town. There's no honor in sticking around for God's judgment. Just so you could say, hey, I'm not afraid of these people. No, there's no honor in that. So Jeremiah leaves, and even leaving town, somebody finds him that knows who he is. He's a well-known figure in Israel at this point in time. And this man finds him where he is and says, you're that spy. You're the traitor. You're the one working for the Babylonians. And Jeremiah says, no, that's not who I'm working for. I serve God, and I'm not working for any of the Babylonians. Or I just serve God here. And they don't believe him. And so the princes get together. They have him beaten. They have him arrested and thrown into a prison that they've made. And after all of this, so this chapter ends with, you know, a prayer. It begins with this prayer request, give us good news, essentially. And now it ends with the beating of the prophet and the imprisoning of the prophet. And you'll see this with Jeremiah. It makes sense why Jesus would say things about how they treated the prophets. And he's a really good indicator of how the nation really treated the prophets. But Zedekiah is a very double-minded man. He's youngish. I mean, he's in his late 20s, early 30s, and I don't know what other word to use, but he's very double-minded. He'll waffle back and forth, try to get something out of Jeremiah that's good news, and he's sort of, you know, he plays sort of both sides of the spectrum there. So verse 16, when Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? He just wants to play both sides of this. Jeremiah said, there is. For said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. That's the word. And that was the word before, and that's been the word. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto King Zedekiah, what have I offended against thee, or against thy servants, or against this people that ye have put me in prison? That sounds like what Paul asked the Romans. You have had me beaten, you've thrown me in prison, and now you're going to secretly try to make this thing right? No, that's not That's not good policy. Verse 19, where are now your prophets which prophesied unto you, saying the king of Babylon shall not come against you nor against this land? Where are all those guys? Where do they go? Therefore, hear now, I pray thee, O my Lord the king, let my supplication, I pray thee, be accepted before thee, that thou cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there. So don't bring me back. If you put me back in prison, there ain't going to be anybody to get me out of prison. You guys are going to be all gone, which sounds like something. There was a prophet in, I think it was, it's Micaiah back in, was it Ahab? Back in that day. Anyhow, he said something similar. He didn't want to be put in prison because essentially everybody's going to be wiped out. I'm going to be left in prison. Nobody's going to be there to get me out. So this is Jeremiah's request. Just don't put me back there, because once you guys are gone, I'm going to be stuck. Verse 21, then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison, and that they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street until all the bread in the city were spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. So Zedekiah sort of keeps him in prison, but, you know, not in the way he was before. So you got this double-minded king, these prayer requests, the circumstance, set of circumstances that appear to be something they're not. And then you have God's answer, which is consistent. Yes, Babylon is coming in. They will destroy the city. Yes, that's been the answer for a while now. That's what's going to happen. It hasn't changed yet. So Jeremiah is left. I mean, he's in prison here. He was beaten, all that kind of stuff. Now, chapter 38 continues this storyline here. And we're going to deal with one of these characters a little bit more next week. But it's interesting who comes to the aid of Jeremiah in this circumstance. And it's not an Israelite. It's just some Gentile. And so let's see how this plays out here. First, it gets worse for Jeremiah before he gets any help, though. Verse 1, then Shephatiah, the son of Matan, of Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, of Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words of Jeremiah, that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey, and he shall live. So that explains the life for a prey thing, if you didn't understand it in the previous chapter. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore, so that's the message. Therefore, here's what the princes say. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. Why? He's a traitor. He's treasonous. For thus he weakened the hands of the men of war that remain in this city. So he's not encouraging them to fight. He's telling them to give up. And that's not helping our cause. And so he weakens the hands of the men of the war that remain in the city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Well, that's not true. Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he's in your hand, for the king's not he that can do anything against you. They're just playing both sides. what do you say, Jeremiah? Secretly, what do you say, Jeremiah? And then publicly, well, you know, you guys going to do what you're going to do. Verse 6, then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Amalek, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. So he just gets thrown basically in the sewage system. And this is their idea of this is going to be a form of capital punishment. They're just going to throw him in the sewer and let him die of thirst down there. He'll die of thirst before he dies of starvation. But they're not going to feed him anymore. They're not going to give him anything to drink. They're just going to throw him in the dungeon there and let him die. And that kind of sounds like some other people they might have thrown into a pit in the Bible before. I think Joseph was thrown into a pit, and somebody was concerned that he might just die in the pit. Well, these guys aren't as concerned. They want him to die. So the princes here attempt really to murder Jeremiah by throwing him into a pit and a dungeon. I call it a sewer system. But then somebody shows up to help him. And it's amazing where the help comes from a lot of times. Verse 7, this Ethiopian man, he thinks that the whole thing is a mess. And this mistreatment of Jeremiah is so heinous. He's going to risk his life to get Jeremiah out of the situation. So verse 7 says, "Now when Abed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Abed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon. And he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is." Well, that was their intent. They wanted him to die in there. "For there's no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Abed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, Take from hence 30 men with thee. Take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die." Zedekiah was the one that said, "Do with him what you want to do with him." And now it's kind of like, well, if you want to help him, take some men with you and go help him. Verse 11, "So Abed-Melech took the men with him. And he went into the house of the king under the treasury, took thence old cast clots and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Abed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, Put now these old cast clots and rotten rags under and armholes under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with the cords and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison." So they, Abed-Melech, I mean, he, Ethiopian man, just not, he's not liking the situation. He thinks and really he understands Jeremiah's been mistreated, and Jeremiah's in the right here. That's what Abed-Melech believes. And so he believes it so much that he entreats the king to try to get some help for Jeremiah. And so he does. And you read it. You read how that played out there. And let's see what happens at the end of this deal. Because after this, Zedekiah, he's going to come back to Jeremiah now. Verse 14. "Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him in the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. And Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, If I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? Like, I've already told you what the answer is. You want to ask me again because you want a different answer? Well, when I give you the same answer, because this is going to be the same question, when I give you the same answer, is the same thing going to happen to me that happened to me just now? So Zedekiah, verse 16, the king swore secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, As the Lord liveth that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, If thou wouldst assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live. This city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. So this is, let's keep reading. Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they mock me. But Jeremiah said, They shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord. Listen to God. These Israelites, they can't control this situation. Obey the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee, so it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. So what's the point is, Zedekiah, if you yield yourself, if you humble yourself, and you give yourself into the hands of God's chastening people, the Babylonians, God will, hear your humility, he will see your humility, and he will respond in a way that is merciful to you. If you will yield yourself to this judgment. But you got to yield yourself to this judgment. Verse 22, behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes, and those women shall say, thy friends have set thee on, have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, they are turned away back. So they shall bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans. And thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shalt be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon. Thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire. So Jeremiah privately advises this king, once again, obey the Lord. And at this time, there's still a chance. The Babylonians are going to take over the city. There's no question about this. The only question is Zedekiah going to survive this in a peaceful way with his family? Is Zedekiah going to preserve the city in a way that it won't be totally destroyed by the Babylonians? And really, that's it's going to happen. The Babylonians are going to take over this thing. The only option is you yield to the chastening hand of God, and allow this to happen, and you put yourself in a position of humility before the king of Babylon, and then God will he'll hear that. But if you don't, that's not going to work out the way he wanted to. And so, next point is, in all of this, Zedekiah asked Jeremiah to keep this whole conversation a secret. Don't tell anybody. It's again, this back and forth thing with Zedekiah. He wants to keep, he's afraid of the people. He's afraid of these politicians around him, these influential men around him. But he's also a kind of afraid of Jeremiah and kind of afraid of God, too. So, but he's not real, he's just double-minded. And so he asked Jeremiah to keep this whole conversation secret. And Jeremiah does. He keeps it a secret. That's verses 24 through 28. And understand, you know, in a case with like Zedekiah, a man like Zedekiah, curiosity about, you know, wanting a prayer request or making a prayer request or curiosity about the Lord isn't always, curiosity is not belief. Because someone has some questions, because someone wants, you know, has a prayer request, it doesn't mean they believe what God's saying. And obviously, Zedekiah is not going to end up believing what God says. But just because someone is asking good questions doesn't mean they're sincere or even on the right track. There's several people in the New Testament that ask Jesus Christ some good questions, and he just sort of, like, he'll give an answer that completely turns them away. So just because somebody sounds like they're interested, that doesn't necessarily mean they're that interested. Especially when they've got a double mind, when they're trying to yield themselves to two different fears they've got. I got a fear of this and I got a fear of that. And I'm trying to satisfy each fear, and it doesn't work that way. So verse 24, Jeremiah keeps the secret. Then said Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die. But if the princes hear that I have talked with thee, and they come unto thee and say unto thee, declare unto us now what thou hast said to the king, hide it not from us. We will not put thee to death. Also what the king said unto thee. And thou shalt say unto them, I presented my supplication before the king, that he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house to die there. And then came all the princes unto Jeremiah and asked him. And he told them according to all these words that the king had commanded. So he keeps the word here. He keeps it kind of private. So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. They didn't know what they had talked about. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken. And he was there when Jerusalem was taken. So he lives through this. He's answered and the questions. He has prayed. He's got an answer from the Lord. He's given the king. He's given the nation the answer. Yield yourselves. Obey the voice of the Lord. They're not going to do that. And so Jeremiah is in prison all the way up until the day the Babylonians finally destroy the city. And he's still there in prison. But the principle at work in all of this with Jeremiah, for sure, is when a man's ways please the Lord, the Bible says he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So when the Babylonians show up and find Jeremiah in prison, it's interesting how they treat him. Chapter 39. Babylon enters the city, first three verses. The ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. So it's destroyed that in that time. All the princes of the king of Babylon came in, set in the middle gate, even Nergal-Sharezer and all these other people with all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. So they all come in, and at that point in time, Babylon has destroyed the city, and Jeremiah is still in prison. Verse 4. Because Zedekiah has disobeyed, and when I say disobeyed, I think of disobedience sometimes as just purposeful, willful hatred of God's commands. But disobedience comes in the form with Zedekiah as just double-minded. He's trying to please these different fears. He's trying to satisfy these different fears. And you can't be successful doing that. And so consequently, he never obeys God's voice. He never listens and carries out what God has asked him to carry out. And so because of his double-mindedness, he's sinned against God. He's disobeyed God. And this is the response that God has with him. Came to pass in verse 4, chapter 39, verse 4. Came to pass that when Zedekiah the king of Judah saw them, and all the men of war, then they fled, and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out the way of the plain. I mean, this is like, it's bad now. The king is trying to secretly get out at night and take his family out, and I mean, it just reminds me of some of the probably the wars we've seen on TV and, you know, you hear about in other countries and stuff like that, when the capital is sieged and then the people in power are being trying to be escorted out of these places where the enemies come in. This is what Zedekiah is doing. Verse 6. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah, so they captured Zedekiah at night. Verse 5. They taken him. They brought him to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. So Nebuchadnezzar, he comes to Zedekiah's captured. He's brought before Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's judgment and sentence is to kill all the family and then put out Zedekiah's eyes. And this, it's horrible. And so verse 6, and the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes, and also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes, bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. So that's the response. You didn't listen to the Lord, you're double-minded, and now you've disobeyed, and this is the consequence of it. It's terrible. Really, really, really bad. But for Jeremiah, a man who has obeyed God, he's been beaten by his own people, he's been imprisoned by his own people. This is what Babylon does to Jeremiah. Verse 8, the Chaldeans burn the king's house, the houses of the people with fire, and break down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, so this was big general here, carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away, that fell to him with the rest of the people that remained. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left of the poor of the people, which had nothing in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. Interesting. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, verse 11, gave charge concerning Jeremiah. So he'd given charge concerning Zedekiah, and it was terrible. kill his sons, put his eyes out, put him in chains, put him in prison. But with Jeremiah it says, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge, verse 11, concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, take him and do what with him? Look well to him. Do him no harm. This king, who has no trouble killing an entire royal family and putting out the eyes of this young 30-year-old King Zedekiah, just ruthless. I mean, he just has. I mean, he's capable of all kinds of horrible things. He's heard about Jeremiah, but more importantly, God knows who Jeremiah is. And when Jeremiah is found in prison, Nebuchadnezzar takes him out of prison through this general here, and he gives instruction, and he says, take care of Jeremiah. Verse 12, take him and look well to him. Do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee. After all of this, Jeremiah gets a blank check from the king of Babylon. And the king of Babylon tells his general, whatever Jeremiah wants, you give Jeremiah. So verse 13, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent, and Nebushaban and all these other people, all the king of Babylon's princes, even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison and committed him unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that he should carry him home. So he dwelt among the people. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, go and speak to Abed-Melech, the Ethiopian. Actually, I want to save that for next week. We're going to stop there. And I want you to understand the principle here. Look over in Proverbs chapter 16. I'll show you this verse. Proverbs 16 and verse 7. Jeremiah is a man that pleases God. He survives the judgment of God on his nation. His own nation treats him horribly. But when the enemies of God show up, and really, I mean, the enemies of the nation, and I mean, Nebuchadnezzar is just the hand of God on the nation of Israel. But when these enemies of his nation show up, meaning Babylon shows up, this is the principle at work here with Jeremiah and his life. Proverbs 16:7. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So these men who are ruthless, they don't care about Israel. They don't care about Israel's God. They don't care about the temple. I mean, they don't care about any of that stuff. But when they meet Jeremiah has pleased God in such a good way here now that God's going to make sure he's going to be taken care of by these people who hate Israel, who hate Israel's God. It's just incredible how it works out. So at the end of these three chapters, 37, 38, 39, you've got this terrible back and forth and this mistreatment of the prophet and the preacher, and you've got this nation that is so opposed to God, and a king who is double-minded and all that stuff. So all the judgment falls, the fire falls, the city's destroyed, capital city's destroyed. And out of all of these ashes and all of this wall broken down, buildings broken down, all of that stuff, the king that caused all of this destruction shows up to Jeremiah and basically ask him, what would you like to do? And in the next chapter, he was asked, do you want to go to Babylon or do you want to stay here? Because if you want to go to Babylon, we'll take care of you in Babylon. If you want to stay here, we'll make sure you're taken care of here. And that's what's going on, this proverb. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And Jeremiah is a man that pleased God, and this is the outcome. Did mean he didn't have any trouble in his life? Not at all. He faces so much opposition. But when it came down to it, he survives all of that. And at the end of the day, he is given just a blank check, but he's just given whatever he wants, and by these enemies of God. And it's incredible how it works out. So peace with his enemies. That's what happens when a man's ways please the Lord. And it's really neat. Really neat. So let's pray. Father, I do pray that you would just help us. I do pray we get more familiar with what we're reading here. And all of these principles that kind of play out in people's lives, and how you treat people who please you, and how men have pleased you. I mean, we could learn from that with Jeremiah. He pleased you in being faithful to your words. And even when there was great opposition to those words, he was faithful to them. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us make these applications that need to be made, see the principles at work, and just be fed by your words. Learn what we need to learn. Do thank you for them. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for this time together. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.